Popcorn World. Teams are back on to start another football season. Hi, it's Lloyd Spence, and as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new and updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So, head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your, I still can't believe it, 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Look, don't forget to use promo code NFL100. It's BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And tell them the Noisemaker sent you.
You're now listening to the lead in the ACC. Heisman Trophy winner and Florida State legend, Mr. Charlie Ward. Wave 3 TV and Burn Pit Hall of Famer, Kendrick Haskins. And Mr. Talking Noise himself, and of course, Mama Noise, Lloyd Spence. And now, it's time for Believe in the ACC.
Glad to be here with you tonight for another round of Believe in the ACC with my brothers Kendrick Haskins and Charlie Ward. And all week, all this day, all day today, it's been me just sitting in front of, you know, the back channels trying to figure out why Instagram and Facebook. It's been a rough day, man. It's been a rough day.
I'm just saying, it's funny how all that come about when after Sunday.
I mean,
TV show on CBS.
Coincidences, purely coincidental.
Too much censoring, man.
Something is going on. I don't know, but it was a rough day today, but we got through it. Shout out to the Noisemakers for rocking with us despite the challenges. We really appreciate that. Everybody just kind of picked up. It was like the whole church picked up and moved over to YouTube. And then it was over. We was all on YouTube together. So it was nice. Didn't take a lot of convincing. Everybody just jumped over and said, okay, where are we going? I saw something else interesting on the Instagrams.
That what is you see on there? Because it was down too.
Yeah, it's back up. It's back up. Was this today? No, this wasn't today. This isn't. Maybe it was on Facebook. Let me see if I can find it. You guys just talk amongst yourselves. Charlie, how are you doing, by the way? Let's start with you. Coach Ward. Charlie Ward is with us tonight. He's Coach Ward during this time of the season.
But we had a solid practice. Like I said, I got a good group of kids. And so just got finished with practice. Had a coaches meeting, head coaches meeting for the school, at the school.
Oh, wow.
We had our conditioning during seven period today.
Mm-hmm.
And had a meeting with my with our intern, basketball ops intern for the year, to so that we can start getting our plan together, or buses and schedule, all that pregame meals, all that stuff lined up for the season.
Nice.
And then tonight I got believe in ACC.
Oh. How many football players do you have on your basketball team?
There may be three.
I saw it's not that bad.
Yeah, you don't have.
I got.
You don't have the mass entrance coming in, so that's good.
I got nine legit. Well, probably a couple of them should be playing football. But they choosing not to. So right now, I mean, we have like nine guys, potentially nine guys. Varsity guys, because we have a fall league game coming up this weekend, Saturday.
I think I've been following the Charlie Ward page, and not the Charlie Ward actual Facebook page.
Well, I'm going to ask Charlie this, because I was talking to a football coach
at
a local school a couple weeks ago, and he was saying one of the big reasons why he wants his football players to play basketball is not only because of the conditioning, but to keep them busy, if you know what I'm saying. It's a hood school, to be honest. How much do you have to deal with that?
Well, you know, having non-basketball players – like that's the norm. We normally have a couple football players that come out. You know, since I've been here, we've been consistent with having just strictly basketball players. But we keep them busy. If they're only playing one sport, I mean, we have an off-season program so they can stay busy with doing something, and we stay on top of them. And so, yes, football guys, I guess they're very similar to be able to have something to do. But it's most of the programs, the ones that's going to be successful or at least, you know, moving in the right direction, they really have their kids year-round doing something, whether it's, you know, 3 weeks in the weight room after school doing conditioning, 7-on-7, linemen, you know, working on technique at some point in off season. So, but most of the players are either running track, they're wrestling, they're on the weightlifting team. So there's always something you can do to keep yourself occupied if you're playing a different sport.
All right. Well, Charlie, for now, I can't find the link to the thing. So you're off the hook for now. But I did see a humble flex by you. But I don't have the receipts. So I'm going to have to let
you. I think you should get it, because I think he knows what you're talking about.
Well, I know he knows.
But he took that giant swig of water like it was a victory lap.
I'm going to let him live for now. Because I mean, it's coming again. You know.
But I don't know. If you're talking about the golf photo that I took with my former Florida State teammates, and
right,
we're supporting our FSUS golf programs and their annual golf tournament.
That's
they
the
had
one.
About 133 golfers. So
yeah,
they made some good cash, some good money for the program.
Who was with you? Who were the teammates?
There's actually. they're pretty good teammates, but they're pros as well.
They have names. What are their names?
They got birth certificates.
I just walking around with no face. What are we talking about? Right?
Yes, they have names and they have championships underneath their belts too.
Oh, that's what I think that's enough for me. That's
And that was a Charlie Ward humble flex.
That's close enough.
You know, that goes back to Charlie not giving me my half last week.
See, if Charlie would have given you a half, you probably would have advocated for him more. Not to
I totally would have, but he left me out by myself.
Yeah.
That's fair. I clearly said that Clemson was going to lose last week 4 hours before the game started.
Did you? Oh, last week.
Yeah, that was last week. This week is a different week.
Yeah.
So I want to start at the top of this thing with Wake Forest, though. Is Wake Forest for real? And are they just ACC for real?
I mean, Wake Forest winning games. I mean, they at this point, what are they, 5-0?
Yeah.
5-0.
I mean, this has happened before, too, so it'll be interesting to see how they finish the season this time around. But they've actually, you know, played some quality – oh, no quality, but they played some football team.
Charlie backed off that quality real quick.
Go ahead,
Charlie.
I'll let Charlie finish, and I'll go on the reaction from Louisville land.
There you go.
I still think they're a solid football team. They're a veteran group, and they're a solid football team. So it'll be interesting to see how they finish the rest of the year. You know, once they start playing guys, teams like Clemson, I think they have potentially Boston College. I'm not sure who's on that schedule, but some of the teams at the top as well. I mean, they played Louisville this weekend, and it was a very good game, competitive, back and forth. You know, either team could have won it. Actually, it came down to, what, overtime?
Close to it.
It wasn't quite, almost, yeah.
Yeah, so it was that whole could have gone either way.
Yeah.
And so Louisville, you know, is a quality team, and they found a way to win. I don't know if they find a way to win on the road, but at home.
There you go. Living here in Louisville land, and, you know, I'm always one. I'm never one that says officiating is this way or the other. And granted, if Louisville doesn't muff that punt right before the half, they're not in that situation.
Right.
But you tell me, Charlie, I'll go to you as our resident Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who's played more college football than any of us. Have you ever had a play that ran that took less than 4 seconds?
I mean, you know.
That was a suspect call, Charlie.
It's suspect. I'm calling the ACC out, and I hope they actually watch this because this is all we're getting in Louisville. And I'm going back. I'm not the one that complains about officiating because I'm like, there's plenty of plays that Louisville could have made. Malik Cunningham overthrew 2 touchdown passes in the first half.
Yes.
But there's no way on earth that Wake Forest called a timeout to get that field goal on before the half. There's no way that happened.
No.
And the fact that the ACC put out their video melt of highlights on YouTube, and all of you can go back on YouTube and see that they cover up the scoreboard on that field goal, that lets you know that that call was BS. The ACC knows it, and the referees blew it, and the ACC covered it up.
Here's how bad the call was. In real time, they replayed it, and they didn't slow it down. They played it in real time. They said, let's listen to see when the whistle happens. Well, the whistle happens at right when the play is over. And when you look up at the clock, it's at 0. There is no 1 second. There's no timeout. There's nothing. But
You know,
one play doesn't beat you, though. One play doesn't beat you.
Doesn't beat you. I want to reiterate that. One play doesn't beat you.
Charlie Cunningham
missed 2 wide-open receivers in the end zone for touchdowns.
Yeah.
In the first half. And the punt returner muffed the punt that put them in that situation.
Right.
So I don't. I'm not going to be the guy that blames the referees for it. However, they blew that call, and not only did they blow that call, the ACC covered it up.
Yeah.
When they released their video melt of highlights that they release every week of every ACC game, they covered it up in their ACC melt.
Okay, Charlie, come on back in there.
Well, I'll just say this because I've been on the good side and the bad side of bad calls. And my team currently has been on the bad side of some bad calls as well, as we've talked about. Especially when you lose, you're always looking at how you could have won if this wouldn't have happened. And like we've said, and you all have said, we've had numerous opportunities to make up for it at some point. But there's always, you know, we go back to the one mistake that the referees may have made, but there are plenty of mistakes that the coaches and the players may have made during the course of the game that don't get magnified. So I think it's all a wash at some point.
A wash.
And, of course, the losing team always going to point back to one play. But guess what? In a competitive game, that is normally the case. One play, regardless of what that play looks like, is normally the reason why a team won and a team lost.
Yeah.
And this is why, and this is another thing, another part why I'm with Charlie, is because on Wake Forest's last drive, they had a third down that Louisville gave up the first down. And so, yeah, Louisville fans, and I hear them all. I've been hearing them for 3 days now.
Yeah.
The referees totally blew that call. You had chances to win outside of that call. And like with most games, especially close games, yeah, there could be a call here and there that kind of messed you up, but there's other plays and situations in games where you could have avoided all of that, like not muffing the punt in the first place, to where you would have won the game and you could have taken the officiating out of the game altogether. Louisville should have won that game. Louisville outplayed Wake Forest.
Yeah.
But here's
what they didn't do. They didn't beat Wake Forest. Here's what I mean. One thing about Wake Forest that I learned watching that game, this was my official first time watching them, you know, start to finish. I've mostly just watched a lot of highlights or condensed game versions of what they do. This is the first time watching them. And one thing they don't do, they're not going to beat themselves. They're disciplined enough to go out and do consistently what they're supposed to do. Not dynamic athletes. They're not going to wow you with the athletic prowess. Sam Hartman is not going to do a bunch of stuff that makes you go, oh, my God, he's an NFL prospect. None of that. They're just not going to do a lot of things to beat themselves. And they didn't. But
they didn't.
The better athletes were clearly on Louisville's side, and Louisville didn't take advantage of that. And that's where I think the mistake – that was the biggest glaring mistake to me. If you have the better athletes, discipline should be a no-brainer. So when it comes down to talent, talent should win. But that's not what happened. Discipline became the factor – and like you said, Louisville started making mistakes that basically cost them the game. Yeah, although that was the terrible play. Their
share of penalties.
Yeah.
That being said, my brother Lloyd Spence.
Yes.
We are burying the lead.
No, I'm not burying the lead.
The lead on this show when we have a Heisman Trophy winning national championship quarterback for Florida State. And they finally get a win a month into the season.
I was leading up to it.
I was leading up to it.
I wanted to build the anticipation.
Because like, for one, I don't want to take anything for Wake Forest because they are the highest ranked team in the conference. And I want to give my brother, Charlie Ward, his flowers because he believes in his Noles, and his Noles got the win.
Yeah,
they did.
Boy's yours, my brother.
So what does that win mean for your team? Or does, other than just a win?
We won a game. If anything, it's big for the guys' confidence. You know, as I've talked about, you know, they've been working and putting in the time and everything and practice, and they just hadn't seen that fruit of winning, the winning fruit. I mean, they've seen a bunch of bare branches, but we finally saw a bud.
Yeah.
You know how when you've been waiting for that bud to come up for so long, you've been doing all the necessary things to get that bud up, and then all of a sudden you see the bud come up, and it's been 6 months. And it's like,
it's a beautiful flower.
Yes.
I just want to give a shout out to Florida State for being one of the only teams that have a kicker in the state of Florida that can make a field goal. That's not been a thing. Kickers in Florida don't make field goals all the time.
Don't be kicking my man.
Sometimes they get them blocked in Lexington.
Corrales.
No, I'm just saying. Listen, this isn't just a Florida State problem. It's a problem. It's something about the air in Florida that doesn't allow you to kick field goals sometimes in clutch situations.
And sometimes that air travels to Lexington.
Yeah. So it happens. It happens. But he got the win, and that was a big time win. That was a big time win.
That was another big time win, but it was a very clutch kick by a kicker because he's been, you know, kind of all over the place. I mean, you don't really know. He's made some. He's missed some, and he's missed extra points. He made extra points, so you kind of don't know, you know. And, you know, it's like someone going to the free throw line and, you know, they made some clutch free throws, but they missed some, and then they missed some easy ones. And, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get. And so I was happy for him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of times when you're put under the pressure and you actually come through, I just take me, for instance, my junior year. When we were playing against Clemson, the game was in the balance. I had the football. They gave us the football in the fourth quarter. It was our last drive to win the game. So before that, I had four interceptions. I struggled the whole night, four interceptions, but we had a chance to win the game. So I drive the football down, help the team drive the football down, and we end up scoring. I end up throwing a game-winning touchdown. I mean, that's huge confidence. Now, you know,
more confidence in your coach, because who was your backup?
Danny Canal.
He probably should have been in the game at that point.
But he was at one point. But he wasn't.
I'm just messing with you because I love you.
They gave me an opportunity to redeem myself. And
redeem yourself, that's right.
Your backup quarterback was older than you, wasn't
it? No, it was younger.
That's hilarious.
But I'm just saying that when you get an opportunity to redeem yourself and you come through, it gives you confidence.
Huge. Very huge. Very huge.
You can carry that over to the next week, you know, where you may have opportunities.
All right, well, we got, like I said, Louisville came up slightly short with their three-point loss, and then Florida State got the win with a three-point win. So before we get into the rest of the scores, I do have to ask you guys this question. I saw last week the show Get Up on ESPN, and Paul Feinbaum was saying that Clemson – was over, that it the run for Clemson is over. It's done. Your thoughts, Charlie Ward, your thoughts, Kendrick Haskins. Is Clemson's run over?
I'm not a big Paul Feinbaum fan. Just off the cuff.
You're amongst friends.
He may be accurate, but I just, you know, he reminds me of somebody, but I'm not sure who he reminds me of, but it's somebody I just can't get down with him. Because
somebody negative.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about him, but I'm not sure if it's over because the defense is still stout. Offensively, they're just struggling. And I sat and watched them play. The quarterback's not just – he's not hitting his target.
Yeah.
I mean, he has guys open, and he's missing guys low, just off target. And then they did get some semblance of a run game the other night. But I just don't know. I mean, you're used to them clicking, like the offense clicking.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. I mean, defensively, I mean, they gave up, what, 14 points?
13, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so you're talking about they're still a solid team. If they can get their offense to, or DJ, to at least hit those open guys that are open, they'll continue to play solid offense or be solid on offense. But right now, he's all over the place. His pass all over the place. And then the run game did have a pulse.
That was Kobe Pace who kind of led their run game. I think he had 19 carries and like 125 yards.
Yeah, so
he was really good, yeah.
A lot of that was on one carry. But, you know, even still, I think, you know, if they can get DJ to play at a higher level in the passing game, they'll be much better.
What happened? What is happening from that Notre Dame game last year to now? Like, what? Because you would think with more reps, he would be much, much better. Is it just the transition of the offensive line and all of the things that were around him that's making it hard for him, or what is it?
The difference is Travis Etienne is on the DL, on the injured list for the Jacksonville Jaguars, rather than playing
his senior year.
He covered up a lot of ills.
Yeah.
And and you know, I don't like to disrespect the OGs in the game, and Paul Feinbaum is an OG in the game. But he's also an OG SEC in the game. And so there's always that SEC arrogance of a one down season means that, you know, that the whole, you know, the Clemson's over. Little do they forget how bad Alabama was before Nick Saban got there.
Right.
So, I mean, we're all of an age. Alabama wasn't like that when Charlie Ward was running things at Florida State.
No.
And that's not that long ago.
They were good, but they weren't.
They weren't this. And yeah. Then, and the fame, and a funny meme came up, which is absolutely hilarious. It was circling around Louisville social media. It was Ron Cooper, who is, you know, not exactly looked in a bright eye in Louisville, beat Nick Saban when Nick Saban was the coach at Michigan State when Ron Cooper was at Louisville. And so, and Nick Saban, I mean, not taking anything from him. He's the greatest coach in college football. I think we can say that. But right. Alabama hasn't always been Alabama. And so for Paul Feinbaum to say that Clemson has already fallen off when they've having one bad season, I mean, that's the total SEC thing to say, and I can't get down with it. I feel like that Clemson will be back. They're just young. They just lost a lot, but they'll be back. Alabama has had years. The year when they lost to Johnny Manziel. I mean, Alabama's – even with Saban there, Alabama's had their years when they weren't – Alabama. And so, I mean, this is just a down year for Clemson.
So I mean, to kind of piggyback off that, well, the SEC and the country, basically, there is a two-team race. They're both in the SEC.
Yeah.
So who else is carrying that mantle in the SEC outside of those two teams? And if you're talking about Clemson's falling off, I mean, they lost to Georgia 10-3.
Right.
I understand it's the first game and all of that. So it's not like they're far off, you know, when it's all said and done.
Well, but it's off for them. They're a victim of their own standard. just like, you know, great teams are, great programs are. So I'm not – so I understand what people are saying, that they're falling off, because by their standards that they've set the last 5, 6, 7 years, yeah, this is not a great Clemson team. But they're not so great, is still miles ahead of everybody else. Correct. So I understand like what you said. This is interesting. Al said, is Paul Feinbaum kind of Whitlockish? Jason Whitlockish.
I don't put anybody in.
I don't know if he's that bad, but he's
nobody's as bad as Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, but he is hot takeish though. He's very hot takeish.
Yeah, he's hot takeish, but Jason Whitlock.
Well, Jason Whitlock is something else that I won't say because Charlie's here.
This platform is not about his nonsense.
Yeah. right. All right. We'll go into the other games of the week and the recap. We had Pitt, who
stunned. I figured Pitt was going to win this game, but I did not see that coming.
I see a blowout coming. Yeah,
but Pitt is so inconsistent. They did this week, and then next week they might score 13 points.
See, I think we got to stop saying they're inconsistent. I think we got to start saying they're consistently inconsistent. That's more accurate. They are consistently going to not be predictable. You don't know what you're going to get.
When we all made our predictions last week, that's exactly what we said about this game.
Yeah.
We don't know what Pitt team's going to show up.
And that is their consistency. We're going to leave you guessing. That's their consistency. So, but
the Pitt kid is off the chains, though. He's not bad.
Who's that?
The quarterback, Pickett.
Oh, Pickett? Oh, no. Pickett is quietly playing himself into an NFL draft. I think he's
the best quarterback in the conference. If he's consistent, that's the issue.
I'll say this. If I had to project him right now, I'd say he's probably a solid fifth or sixth rounder, but trending up.
What year is he?
He's a senior. Yeah,
if he's a senior, he's a fifth rounder.
Yeah, I would say he's a solid fifth or sixth rounder, trending up in the right direction.
If you've been in school that long, they're not taking you to the top.
No. Not at all. That's why I said solid fifth or sixth rounder. So that was one interesting game. The other interesting, I'd say shocking game. North Carolina not just beating Duke, but blowing Duke out.
That's only shocking to one person on this panel.
Why are you shocked?
Because I don't believe.
It's only shocking to one person on this panel.
Not to me. I am stunned.
I know you stunned because you just don't want to see North Carolina. You just don't trust them.
First of all, what we're not going to do is act like Sam Howell was just amazing. He was 18 of 32. Now, it turned out to be 321 yards, but still.
There you are. It's still over 50% completions.
I will not believe. I will not believe.
We did have a lot of
again. Like I said, this is not surprising to 2/3 of this panel.
Okay. What was that, Charlie?
I said he did have a lot of incompletes.
Because that's who he is. He's a solid fifth rounder too. All right, we talked about Boston College, Clemson. What about Louisiana Tech, North Carolina State?
That it was a close game, but La Tech is not a bad football team.
La Tech's pretty good. Yeah.
And if you remember last week, I said this could be a trap game for NC State coming off that win against Clemson. I said that last week.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
They did look like they weren't the team that beat Clemson or trending upward during this game. I thought they would pull away at some point, but it never did. Kept a lot of Louisiana Tech back in the game, and I mean they kept their distance, but it wasn't easy.
College kids, they read the headlines and start smelling themselves after they beat Clemson. I was worried about that coming into that game. They pulled it off. They did not lose, but I had a feeling that was going to be a trap game for NC State.
Well, that's what college kids are. You know, they read the press clippings, they see the highlights, they walk the campus and hear the cheers, and now you got to retrain them all through the week. So
they only have to walk campus. All they got to do is just open up their phone.
Social media. That's exactly right. And then of course the Thursday game, Virginia got the win. Surprise! I thought this was the surprise of the week. Virginia beat Miami. I didn't see that coming.
I wasn't surprised, even though I picked Miami to win that game. I wasn't surprised that they lost. And I also wasn't surprised in the fashion that they lost with that field goal doinking off the goal.
Again, what's wrong with kickers in Florida?
Come on, man.
Charlie, all that your nose have gone through with wide rights and lefts against Miami, how much did you laugh at that?
Charlie, it's a thing.
I was heartbroken that they lost the game because Coach Diaz is a Florida State guy, and at one point, and DJ's on the team, but it's a Florida school, even though they're like a rival, but just the fact again they had an opportunity to win a game. And now people are going to be talking about how bad they are because they lost on a last second kick. And the game was a very good game. I mean, they fought back. I mean, they were down, 10 points at one time, or it was something. And they looked like they weren't going to make anything happen. And then my man gets a long run to cut the lead. And then they kept turning and getting back in it. And they found a way to get down the field to put themselves in a position to kick the game winner, and my man daunted off the bar.
But shout out to the Virginia wide receiver on that catch in the end zone. That was the most insane catch for a touchdown we've seen all season.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. That might be the play of the year.
Of course, that goes back to the Miami DB dropping the interception. Because it should have been picked off.
It's the little things, man, that win and lose games for you. Well, yeah. So if you betted with us last week on betonline.ag, if you betted with Charlie and Kid, you made a ton of money. You betted with me, I'm sorry. I was in my feelings last week. I admit that.
Me and Charlie was laughing at a lot of your picks last week. I can't remember.
I will admit that. I'm in my feelings picks last week. So this time I will try to vote a little bit more.
This game is that? You got the Clemson game?
The game that I got right?
Yeah.
What was the game I got right?
It had to be Clemson.
Yeah, I think. No, I bet Syracuse on that one.
No, it's NC State. You bet Clemson. You got Clemson. You did get Clemson wrong.
I was NC State. Yeah, I predicted the upset. Which, by the way, I wasn't far off. I almost got that one.
Almost on the captain. How many horseshoes and hand grenades?
Huh?
Just like I told you, we almost won 3 out of 4 games.
Yeah, Charlie almost won at Notre Dame.
Almost doesn't count. You're right. Well, let's see if I can do better this weekend. Now, if you're betting with me overall, long term the season, you're making money. You're doing fine. You just had a bad week, and you might need to park the car in the garage. I just don't want any problems for you. But there's not a lot of games this week, so. We'll go through the list this week. Georgia Tech at Duke.
Man, this is a pick'em.
Yeah. I don't
know if he's really going to show up.
I'm going with the Ramblin' Wreck.
The Ramblin' Wreck?
Yeah.
Did Duke is that what they call Did Duke lose anybody in the game the other night?
That's a great question. I don't remember.
I'm gonna go with Duke.
You going with the Dukies?
Yes. I don't know why, but
I'm going with Tech.
This feels like a flawed logic, Charlie. this is a battle of the brains right here. I don't know what to do with this one.
I'm going with the Ramblin' Wreck at Georgia Tech.
The line, what does the line say? Let me see what the line says. I'm just curious. 3.5 favorite for Georgia Tech.
And that's on the road, so you definitely got to go Georgia Tech.
I'm going Duke.
Okay.
Duke at home.
1-7 last week.
I know. I didn't do well. I did not do well last week. I'll admit that. Let's go with we'll save that one. Let's go Wake Forest and Syracuse. Can Syracuse rebound from such a tough loss against Florida State? Or is Wake Forest for real?
I think they can rebound, but I do believe Wake Forest is
I'm gonna go Wake Forest.
Yeah, everybody's going Wake Forest.
It's tough. I can't for some reason, and this might be me texting y'all Saturday morning for a half. Because I have a feeling about Syracuse in this game, because it's a trap game. I'm going Wake Forest, even though I have a strange feeling about Syracuse in this game.
They are 6.5-point favorites.
Who, Syracuse?
No, Wake Forest.
Oh.
I got a weird feeling about this game.
This is a job-saving game for Dino Babers. Like, if he wins this one, he gets another year.
It's not even that. That's not even why I have a bad feeling about this game for Wake Forest, because they really shouldn't have won last week.
There's nothing that they do that deserves you picking them. That's the problem. They don't do anything wrong. They just don't do anything dynamically. Like, even after watching that game, I didn't walk away from that game going, man, that kid makes the difference. They're all okay. They're okay. They do their jobs, which is what you want.
But that kid, A.T. Perry's not bad.
Right. But that's what you can say about all of them.
They're not bad.
None of them are bad. They just don't. Yeah.
Top to bottom, Wake Forest is a good team.
They're a good team.
I just have a weird feeling of it's not that he gets Wake Forest. I really do believe Wake Forest is legit, but I just have a weird feeling about this game. I'm picking the Demon Deacons, but I have a weird feeling about this game.
Listen, I have a cushion. I'm going Syracuse.
I've got a feeling the half field dome named after an air conditioning company that doesn't have an air condition is going to give Wake Forest problems.
Huh?
So they have air conditioning now.
Carrier Dome's not air conditioned. Named after the Carrier air conditioning company.
But they just remodeled it.
When?
See, there you go. That's the reason why I'm going to Syracuse, because they're doing things that you're not even aware of.
If you go and open all the doors at the dome will deflate.
Let's go Notre Dame, Virginia Tech.
Hokies!
I do. That's another team I don't believe in anymore.
What did you believe anymore makes you sound like you believed in Notre Dame to begin with?
There were times in my life where I believed.
Rocket is not walking through that door.
That's what I said, Patty. Rocket's not walking through that door. Tim Brown is not walking through that door. Joe Montana's not walking through that door. Shoot, man, Manti Te'o's not walking through that door. So I'm going Virginia Tech.
Is Virginia Tech consistent, though?
They might be consistent enough to be. Listen, Notre Dame is a 1-point favorite. That's how much the people believe, the bettors believe in Notre Dame.
That's how much Las Vegas is betting on Notre Damers.
This is a pick'em
all day in that game.
This is a pick'em game.
Give me Virginia Tech all day in that game.
I'm gonna go with Virginia Tech because I'm not sure what this Pine kid, Notre Dame.
There you go.
Right.
How good he is.
See, we all went Virginia Tech on that one.
And shout out to my Louisville boy Desmond Ritter at Cincinnati for getting that win against Notre Dame last week.
I mean, completely exposed Notre Dame early. Like, we know
what Desmond Ritter's the real deal.
Yeah, we know what you are,
and we're not afraid of you. All right. Our final two games, Virginia at Louisville. Louisville's a 2.5-point favorite at home.
I'm going to go with Louisville.
Yeah, I got to go with Louisville on that one.
I'll go with Louisville just because, but it's hard because the thing with the odds, you usually get 3 points when you're the home team, and by them only being a 2.5-point favorite. But
I think that line's gonna move though.
Well, I don't really pay attention to the lines when it moves because that's just bet.
Right.
But the initial line. But I think Louisville's going to win because Malik Cunningham is playing good ball, even though he missed 2 touchdown passes that would have won them the game. But they're getting one of their receivers back that got knocked out in that Ole Miss game. I'll go with U of L.
All right. Our final pick of the night. This is an easy one for me. Florida State at UNC. An easy one for me. I have no chance. There's no challenge.
What are you?
There's no thought.
What is the source of this trauma?
The Noles. Back-to-back victories.
I don't even think Charlie's picking Florida State to win on the road.
Oh, you know I am.
Charlie, I've already penciled you in, sir.
I believe in the Seminoles.
And so do I, Charlie. So
well, offensively and defensively, special teams last week was very good.
It was all good.
I'm going with the heels.
Oh, see, because you're glutton for punishment.
Says the one who went 1-7 last week.
Yeah, but I got a head start on y'all. The first week I killed it, so I had a little bit of a head start. I'm fine.
I'm going
with you. Bet with me, you're still making money.
I'm going with the Tar Heels at home against Florida State as a person who grew up a Florida State fan.
You know, I find you betting against them quite often. What's that about? For such a fan. What's that about?
Won one game. I bet against Louisville and I live here all the time.
Hilarious. Well, Charlie, I'm with you. Shout out to Mike Norvell.
I do believe in Norvell. I think Florida State needs to stick with him. All this talking about firing Norvell is crazy to me. Just like the weirdos that I live here with, they talk about they want to move on from Satterfield and Chris Mack. I'm like, who else are you going to get? But I like Mike Norvell. I like what he's doing there. It's just going to take time. He's got a very young team there at Florida State. And while I pick against them consistently this year.
Consistently.
They've won one game. I've been right most of the time.
But if we would band together as a band of brothers and support.
We'd be a band of brothers losing money. Oh. So, or mine does not want us giving our viewers bad advice.
Or the unity of our power of agreement would send powerful stuff to Florida State, thereby causing them to win games.
Yeah, when they're at home, I give them more chance. But on the road at North Carolina, a team that was picked to win the conference, yeah, I got to go with the Tar Heels.
I'll throw this out at you. We was talking about the Seminoles. You know, we're 1-4, correct?
That is correct.
Out of the 4 losses and the 1 win, there's 11-point difference. I mean, yeah. So in the three of the four losses, not including, of course, three of the four, one being Wake Forest, which was 20 or whatever it was. The other three losses were 14 points. And then we won by 3 points. So the differential out of the four out of five games and the loss and the wins are like 11 points.
There you go. See?
There was once a quote from the mighty Bill Parcells who says, "You are what your record says you are."
All I say is we're close.
You are
gross.
Record says you are. I love my Noles. I love them. But I also recognize what they are right now. Rebuilding and young. A year or two from now, we'll be talking about 2 years from now, we're going to be talking about a whole different thing.
All I go back to again is four out of five games, there's 11-point difference between.
That's why I'm saying, because they're young. Because they're young. Because they're a young team. Point, young
at some moves. Point, that's going to turn around, and we'll start winning some close games.
Agree with you wholeheartedly. Young team.
It'll be this week against Sam Howell.
Yeah, I hope so.
And because of your hatred to Sam Howell, I'm giving the young guy love and saying, bro, prove this man wrong. His quarterback is Danny Dimes.
Danny won yesterday.
They beat Jameis yesterday.
Right. As I predicted on the five, he threw for 40 yards. He did great. Matter of fact, since we had the shout-out part of our show, that's where my shout-out is going. Shout-out to my Giants and Saquon Barkley. It was so good to see Saquon play like Saquon yesterday. He looked fantastic. And hopefully that confidence will spill on into the house that Eli Manning built. Also known as Cowboy Stadium.
You notice what I almost spit out my game.
I saw that. That's my shout out for this week. Oh,
really the shout out.
Oh, also I want to give a shout out once again to Plano East superstar running back Ismael Mahdi, who ran for 25 carries for 335 yards this weekend. And five touchdowns.
I put him on Facebook, on my Facebook page. I don't know if you saw it.
Wow. Well, I just realized for some reason we have not connected on Facebook, and we have to write that wrong. So
and Facebook has to write that wrong.
Yeah, Facebook may have kept us apart. I don't know. But we'll fix it tonight. So
I put it out there that this man – who's running for all these yards. His team, I don't think, is winning. But he hadn't foregone his senior year to focus on college and all that kind of carrying on. Even though he's a very good back, I guess he doesn't have a place to go right now. But I commend the kid for sticking with his team and not going to a different school and not opting out the year, talking about, I'm trying to save myself and I don't want to get hurt and I'm the best thing we have. And so all this nonsense that we keep seeing, and so I'm just happy that he's old school in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just shouting out your shout out.
There you go.
Yeah, Ishmael.
Yeah. Proud of the kid, man.
Hope we can get him to a good school.
Yes. Hopefully. What about you, Kenji? Where are you going with?
My shout out is a repeat shout out because of the timeline of their season, we don't get to cover them as much as they deserve. But shout out to University of Louisville volleyball team.
Yeah.
Country. They picked up two more sweeps over the weekend. They swept Clemson on Friday, and they swept number 18 Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech on Sunday. Shout out to my girl, Danny Boosman Kelly, and the head coach of UofL volleyball, And shout out to them because they're number three and they're undefeated. And I think they've only had two matches all season that weren't sweeps. So
wow, shout out to them. Oh, I got one more shout out. One more shout out. Shout out to my high school alma mater, Western High School, who is the preseason number one in the sixth region, which we haven't done that in a long, 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 long time.
What's that, basketball?
Give you that.
Yes, basketball.
They've got strong guard play.
Yes.
My boy Tim Hinkle's son
is yes.
Balling. They got, and they've got strong guard play. They were young last year. They almost won the sixth region last year. They're young. They were young last year with freshmen and sophomores. So
and almost got to the state championship. Back. Yeah.
And most of that team's coming back, so they're a little bit older, a little bit wiser. Yeah, Western's going to be a problem this year in Kentucky high school basketball.
Let's go, Warriors. All right. Had to give him a shout out.
Shout out to Young Hink.
Young Hink doing his thing. All right. This was fun, man. Despite a crazy day on Facebook, we made it to Facebook and got a chance to shout out to the Noisemakers and do our show. That was amazing. Charlie, I didn't realize it
until shout out days. NBA to Louisville.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but they had an organization that gave me a T-shirt.
Well, then there you go. I'm sorry, Ron. I didn't see your shout out. Shout out to Justin Fields coming back from child abuse. Winning his first game this past Sunday.
The coach fired the offensive coordinator fired himself and gave play calling duties to another coach, and they
won. But in the press conference, he said, listen, I have to prove all this stuff, you know. I was like, just say the man did a good job. Why you can't say the man did a good job? It was really a bad press conference.
That means because all of them are going to be gone at the end of the season. That's why.
Yeah. Couldn't get a man credit.
He's probably feeling a certain kind of way for firing himself.
I just know that my beloved Cowboys are probably going to lose their offensive coordinator at the end of the year because the Bears are going to come after them. If they're smart.
Who's the offensive coordinator?
Kellen Moore. I don't know. He might be in line for the Cowboys head coaching job.
He should be. But, however, if they win, how are they going to – keep winning like they are, how are they going to justify getting rid of, you know?
Well, we'll do what we can to help. We'll do what we can to help them stay there because we're coming this weekend.
Who, the Giants?
Yes, Charlie, the Giants. I'm trying to say this with a straight face.
Cowboys defense is playing really, really well at this point.
Don't do that, Charlie. Don't be that guy.
My man number seven and my man number 11 coming for you on defense. I'm hype about the Cowboys defense for the first time in 30 years.
They definitely got a solid defense. That Parsons kid is off the chain.
Michael Parsons is a monster. Diggs is a monster in the secondary.
Huh?
Who passed up on Parsons?
10 other teams.
10 other teams because he sat out his senior year because of COVID.
Yeah, 10 other teams who didn't look at the tape from the previous year were like, nah, we're good.
Thank you.
Shout out to the Jets who thought they didn't need him. let's go a different round.
Hey, they got to win this weekend.
Yeah, they got a quarterback. So they
got the same quarterback.
They shouldn't have gave up on Sam Darnold, but
no.
Shout out, they won.
No, Sam looks great. Sam looks good. So
Sam looks great. Sam's good. They gave up on him too soon.
Much too soon. All right, people, have a great continuation of your Monday, and go Noles, and down goes UNC. All right, we out of here.
You've been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward, Lloyd Spence, and Kendrick Haskins. Please like, follow, subscribe, and share from the Noisemakers page on Facebook and on YouTube. And you can also listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, and wherever podcasts can be heard. And join us.